Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for joining me once again. This Sunday, 4th of May, sees the first in a series of five walks in Liverpool to be led by the Archbishop of this city, Patrick Kelly. With the theme Walking in Faith, the walks are taking place as part of the contribution of the Archdiocese of Liverpool to the 2008 celebrations of this city as European Capital of Culture. I discovered this by looking at a press release which flashed across my computer screen one morning. I was intrigued and a bit baffled, actually, as to what the point of any such walk might be. So I thought to myself, well, perhaps it's to give Catholics visibility at a time when Liverpool is particularly visible as European Capital of Culture. To find out if I'd guessed right, I got in touch with Archbishop Patrick Kelly himself. So stay tuned for the answer to that question.
It's much more humble than that. It's a way to enable Catholics, without a great expense or gathering together great resources, to acknowledge the part we've played in making the city what it is today. And very anxious to say that culture is more than the great musical events or great artistic pieces. Our culture is also about ordinary life affecting ordinary people in so many different ways. And so the idea came up of a few walks which can be based on places where great diversity of life has been manifest and strengthened.
Is this walk just for Catholics, or is it intended as an ecumenical and interreligious venture as well?
First and foremost, it's a walk sponsored by the Catholics, but we've made it known to the other church leaders, to the local leaders in the various churches, and made it clear to people in the body politic that they too are welcome to participate. So it is very much sponsored by the Catholic community, but is open to all.
Out of curiosity, how did the various parishes react at first to this project? Did it appeal to people? And if so, why do you think?
It seemed to appeal to them very much indeed. And when, for example, I visited one of the hospitals, which is in one of the areas where we'll be walking, they were very anxious to be kept informed because they too would like to have at least some part to play in joining us and telling their story and us telling our story as well. So it's been met very positively.
How do you expect your fellow citizens watching this event will react to your presence as you walk around the city?
Well, I think walking around the city is too grand a title. We're walking through parts of the city where, if you like, the other activities of the Year of Culture do not reach. It's the ordinary parts of the city where we're walking, and we've deliberately chosen that it's a walk, it's not a procession. It is a stroll, if you like, and it's visiting parts of the city where, sadly, the population is not what it once was. But they are parts of the city where ordinary parish life continues and grows and seeks to serve the wider community. So I'm not expecting great fanfares of trumpets, for example, when we had the world premiere of John Taverner's Requiem in the Metropolitan Cathedral. This is, I think, a more gentle affair, but in the middle of it there will be something which will have a lot of attention, the biennial walk between the two cathedrals, when we'd expect 3,000 people probably to participate in that. So, if you like, small events leading to a bigger event, being nourished by it and nourishing that big event in turn.
You spoke about music. Is music part of your walk?
What there is at the beginning of each walk, there is a very simple service which will reflect under the light of the Word of God on this certain aspect of the life. Then we will walk simply in conversation. I gather one of the churches is planning that we should be met by our musicians, which is fine, but the main point of the church to which we go is an opportunity for light refreshments and to wish each other well till we then gather for our next walk.
I understand Sundays is the first in five walks and has the theme our history as
Indeed.
Catholics in Liverpool. The choice of the theme suggests your heritage is rich in history. Now, memories can be both positive and negative, so I'd like to take a look at some of these areas, perhaps by stepping back in history first. Those memories from the times of persecution of Catholics in England.
We're not going back that far back because the actual Liverpool area, and remember we are dealing with the city of Liverpool, the strongest memories in Liverpool are after the days when other Catholics experienced persecution. They are the days of the Irish famine, when Irish people in their hundreds of thousands came to Liverpool. I gather, for example, the vast majority of Irish who eventually went to the United States travelled through Liverpool. We're remembering days when, for example, there would be 25, 30 funerals every day in parishes near the waterfront. There was one year when 11 priests died in one parish as they served those in greatest need. Another night when in another parish 3 priests died overnight in the parish of St. Patrick. So we're remembering those who came in great poverty and need, of the way in which English priests met them in their need. And out of that, for example, grew works such as that of Father James Nugent, who established what he could, homes for children in need, sought to reach out to women in need, sought to increase educational opportunities. So it's that period which we're remembering, and the focus of that is St. Anthony's Scotland Road.
That was 1847, if I remember correctly, Irish famine. Of course, Liverpool, as you mentioned, is a port. Has this impacted on its history beyond the Irish connection?
It's impacted. We've just had in the city, just on Monday, something which was established in the days of Archbishop Warlock, Bishop David Shepherd, and the members of the Free Churches. The three cities of Glasgow, Belfast and Liverpool have met every year for something now like 40 years. And over those years, what they've met to do is to reflect on the fact all three cities were ports, all three cities saw the decline in shipping, all three cities saw the decline in the heavy industry, all three had experienced tension between the churches, all three had learnt to walk a different way. So those two are part of the memories, and the history of the port has had a profound effect on the city. It's interesting, the tonnage going through this port is now greater than it's ever been in history, but with the methods of shipping today, employ very few people. And ships, for example, often turn round within 12 hours, whereas once upon a time they were in port for several days. So again, it's a story which has had huge implications and seen enormous change.
About the makeup of Catholics in Liverpool today. Who are they? And are there any symbols or role models they particularly care about? You mentioned some there earlier. You mentioned the
Father James Nugent, again, I think the role models in Liverpool are a very simple nature. It's a city where, for example, and that's why one of our walks, the fourth of the walks, will focus on the contribution made by religious orders and congregations. This was a city which saw the first establishing of a training college for women who wished to be teachers. The Sisters of Notre Dame were instrumental in that. And again, the role models have been of that nature, those who gave inspiration, gave encouragement, opened up opportunities for people, and strangely, not so much named as known as groups of people. Among them would be the Daughters of Charity, another group had a huge influence on the city. The De La Salle brothers, the Salesians, all of those have contributed strongly to the life of so many people.
You mentioned another one of the themes that you're going to look at, but there's also outreach to prisons and hospitals. Why was that one particularly chosen?
Chosen because we have in one of our parishes, there is the largest hospital in the north of England with 1,600 patients. Still today, 1,000 of those could be Catholic, which makes it quite unique in terms of the outreach we need for those who are in hospital. We have 2 priests working full-time there, together with a team of others. In exactly the same area, there are 2 very big prisons. A third one is about to be established. So again, in the prison population, the Catholics are represented, well, perhaps beyond what one would like to think. But the needs there are very great indeed, and we are continually, it's the custom, for example, that at Christmastide, Bishop Williams and myself would visit all the prisons. I think there are about 7 or 8 in the diocese. We take our responsibility to prisoners very seriously. So again, we've tried to say to the parishes in that area, God has placed you here for the sake of those in hospital, for the sake of those in prison. They are not just adjacent to you. Why our Lord has asked you to live in this part of the world is precisely to sustain by your prayer and encouragement those in hospital, those in prison. So it's a very strong reality. Indeed, physically, looking across Liverpool's skyline, the hospital I mentioned, Fazakerley Hospital, is one of the most dominant buildings on the whole skyline after the two cathedrals. So there it stands to say, care for us.
So the cathedrals are the Catholic cathedral, which is a more modern building, no? And the Anglican one, is that what you're talking
That's
about?
That's right, the two cathedrals, yes. Yeah, iconic in every way.
The third theme is about schools.
The schools, we've chosen that walk because of an area which I think has one of the highest concentrations of Catholic schooling in the world. In one small area, we have 3 high schools with about 1,400 children in each. We also have 8 primary schools, some of which are 400 pupils, in a very, very small area. And again, it's a way to reflect on the unique contribution that Catholics have made to schooling in the life of the city. And still today, we have, I think, 13 high schools across the city and scores of primary schools. And the contribution we make is remarkable. In any measures of quality, including the measure of the extent to which the Catholic schools are diverse in terms of social background, of the different races from which the pupils come, we are recognised as giving a huge example to others. In fact, just this week, one of our schools, where it happens my cousin is a parish priest, has achieved the label outstanding in its government report, which that quality is very, very rarely affirmed of any school.
The last walk focuses on the church and the city. What does that mean?
Yes, several things come together in that walk. We're starting at the waterfront near the ancient parish church of Our Lady and St. Nicholas. And Catholics have also played a significant role, for example, in the world of the courts, in the financial world, in the world of law. And so we're acknowledging the way Catholics have contributed to that sense to the life of the city. It is the same day on which the Catinians, an association of Catholic men who try to ensure that their involvement in every aspect of civic life is informed by their faith and the teaching of the church, they are having their centenary celebrations in the city that very same day. So 1,000 of them will be joining us in the cathedral. It's St. Peter and Paul's Day. But on the way from the Church of St. Nicholas to the cathedral, we're going to go past the statue erected by public subscription to the memory of Father James Nugent in the gardens which are next to the Civic Hall in the city. It is probably one of the very unique statues of a priest, maybe in the world, never mind in England, erected, as I say, by public subscription to somebody recognised as one of the great figures in bringing healing to our society. So we'll be walking past his statue and then on to the cathedral for the final celebration.
And our thanks there go to the Archbishop of Liverpool, Patrick Kelly, as we wish him well on this series of walks through his own city. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening.